But anyway, I want to share with you my walk with the Lord. I was raised a Catholic, and I was one of 13 children. Now, in my family, even though we always said we were Catholics, nobody never really went to church except for maybe special occasions sometimes. I'm talking about the adults, because my mother always did insist that our younger ones, the younger ones that were still at home, that we get up and go to church. Go to Mass on Sundays, because if you don't, you're not going to go to the movies. So, of course, we'd get out of bed every Sunday, and there we'd go so that we could go to the movies. So this continued on, and as I grew, we were living in Kansas City, because I was born in Kansas City, Missouri. And at the age of 8, my parents decided to move to Chicago to get a better job, my father to get a better job and to make a better living for us. So we moved here to Chicago. And, of course, got enrolled into the public school. Now, in those days, I don't think they do this anymore because there's so many laws out there. Anyway, in those days, in the Catholic schools, they would ask if there were any children there that were like Catholics and wanted to attend catechism lessons. And if there was, then you just bring a note from your parents and they would take you. One day out of the week, they would take you over to a Catholic church and to the school there, and you would learn the catechism. Now, 8 years old, what do I know? I didn't know this was not Bible. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know Bible, period, much less catechism. But anyway, they used to take us once a week over to St. Patrick's Church in Chicago, and we used to learn the catechism there. It was there that I first learned of Jesus. The nun there used to say to us, you know, Jesus is God. God is Jesus. And he lives up in heaven. And he's with us always. And we should always talk to him. So she used to say to us, so don't ever forget that. As you go through your life, always talk to Jesus. Well, I never forgot that. And as little as I was, I remember that I'd be outside playing under that hot sun in the summertime on the sidewalk, because we didn't have a backyard. We were renting a second floor apartment in Chicago, and we were still 6 or 7 of us at home, children. The older ones had gotten married and had left. But anyway, I'd be out there playing in the hot, under the hot sun on that hot sidewalk on sun, during the week. And all of a sudden, I would remember Jesus. And the nun had said to us that, you know, the name of Jesus is so precious and so sacred that whenever you say Jesus, bow your head in reverence to him, because that name is so holy. So I would be playing out there, and all of a sudden, I would remember Jesus. And I would look up into the sky, and I'd say, hi, Jesus. And I would smile. And this would go on all the time. Well, my youngest sister would say to me, you know, you look like a retard. You're always looking up and talking and then doing your head like this. What is your problem? And I don't think I ever really did tell her. I'll have to tell her one day what it was. I was talking to Jesus, and I was being reverent, and I would say, hi, Jesus. Jesus, I'm out here playing. Jesus, are you still there? And things like that. Well, as I grew up, I kind of fell away because, like I say, my mother did insist that we all go to church every Sunday. Otherwise, we wouldn't even go to a movie. So we did go to church. So as I grew up, though, I kind of fell away. I stopped going to church. And I was just doing my own thing. I got married. I had 2 children. And the concept of life to me was that because my mother had so many children, and then she separated from my dad, and she was struggling to make ends meet. And we were so many children at home that at a very early age, I decided that when I grow up, I'm going to marry a perfect man, somebody who's really going to love me, because I just felt at that point that my dad didn't love my mother enough to stay with her. So I was going to find somebody who really loved me, and I loved him, and I was only going to have two children. That's all I was going to have, a boy and a girl. That's it. No more. And I was going to live happily ever after, because this man was going to be perfect. He was going to take care of me. Well, so I grew up and got married. Well, sad to say, it didn't work out that way. He turned out to be very abusive. I did have the two children that I wanted, only 11 months apart, a son and a daughter. And because of his abusiveness, I then left him. We divorced. What was I going to do? Here I was, so, you know, devastated. It was scary because I only went through eighth grade. I went to no high school. I had no education. How was I going to make a living to take care of these children and myself? I was devastated. It was scary. So what did I do? I turned to the Lord. Oh, Lord, help me, dear Lord. Please help me. Help me. I've got these two children, and I've got to take care of them, and only you can help me, dear Lord. Well, you know, the Lord sometimes has to take us through dark valleys because we just don't know any better. And one thing that I always remembered was that in Romans 5:8, it tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that always told me that Jesus was looking out after me, even though I was not living the life that I should have been living. So I just clung to Jesus, and he gave me a good job. And I got this job. As a matter of fact, people used to say to me, "How did you get that job?" And I'd say, "Jesus gave it to me." Amen. And people at my place of employment used to say, "Truly, God had to give that to you, because never in those days, you know, this was like 30 years ago, 35 years ago, in those days, women were not given like top positions in a place of employment, and especially a Mexican woman, forget it." And I remember this one Mexican man there used to say to me, "How did you land that job, being a Mexican and being a woman?" Because I was placed in a very high position. And I used to say to him, "Jesus gave it to me. I prayed and Jesus gave it to me because I needed a job in order to make a living for my children and myself." So it got to where through the years, I would see this man sometimes way down the hall, and he would go to me and I'd say, and I would just point up and shake my head, "Yes." Well, anyway, then I met what I thought was the perfect man. And I said, "Oh, this is great. This is what I've been waiting for." Now, at this point, I was going to church again, but that was about the extent of it. I was going to church every Sunday, but that was it. I kind of got involved there, and we were going to get married. And he loved my children, loved me, loved my family, and he asked to marry me. And I wanted to marry him. But when I went to my priest and told him, he said, "Well, who is this man? Is he a Catholic?" And I said, "No." I said, "He's Methodist." "Oh." He said, "Has he ever been married?" I said, "Yeah, he's a divorced man, Methodist." "Oh, that's out," he said. "You cannot marry him. You're a Catholic." And now, in my first marriage, the father of my children, he was not, we didn't get married through the church. We just got married through the courts. So the priest knew that. So he said to me, "You know, there's no way that you can marry this man because he is a married man." I said, "No, he's divorced." "No." He said, "In the eyes of God, he is a married man. You cannot marry him." So I went home very devastated, thinking to myself, oh my goodness, because I definitely, at this point, I had realized that I had made a terrible mistake by marrying this man, my first husband, through the courts only. I said, the next one's got to be really perfect through the church and all. So when I told this man about that, he said to me, no problem. He said, I'll become a Catholic. He went to talk to the priest, told the priest that he wanted some instructions, and he was going to become a Catholic, and he wanted to marry me, and the priest said, it doesn't work that way. So there I was. Well, from that point on, the Lord was really working on me. Therese, you've got to get it straightened out. And so that was where my real journey began with the Lord, because I just couldn't rest anymore. It was just like this thing was just gnawing at me all the time. You know, you've got to do something. You've got to get it right. And so one night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up. And I walked into my son's bedroom, and I saw him sound asleep there, real peaceful, and I loved him so much. Then the Lord took me into my daughter's bedroom. I saw her sleep in there so peaceful, and I loved her so much. And then the Lord directed me to this only Bible that I had in the house. Well, actually, I had two. I had this Catholic Bible, great big Catholic Bible that I had bought off of a salesman years before. And I had also a Living Bible that I don't even know where I got that one from. But anyway, I never even looked at the two of them. But the Lord directed me to this Living Bible. And he directed me to open it up to Isaiah 54:5, which said, your creator will be your husband. Amen. Because, you know, that was my biggest fear, was that if I never get married again, who's going, you know, as my children are growing, and there'll probably be more expenses. And then me too, I was very young. And I said, you know, and then, you know, what's going to happen? Am I going to be running around, you know, just getting myself into more messes and all? What am I going to do? But when the Lord showed me that, I thought to myself, yes, the Lord will be my husband. My Creator God will be my husband. Well, I came home from work one day, and I was cooking, and all of a sudden, I got this great urge to look in the newspaper, look in the newspaper, look in the newspaper. And I'm turning those pages in the newspaper like I knew what I was looking for, and I really didn't. But all of a sudden, my eyes fell on this great big page on the newspaper. It was the whole page. And it said, come and listen to Billy Graham at McCormick Place tonight. Now, Billy Graham, I mean, I'm Catholic. Who's Billy Graham? Come to listen to him. And then it said, let Billy tell you about how much God loves you. And I thought to myself, wow, this is a spiritual thing. And I'm looking at it, and it was like a magnet just drew me. And I knew immediately I must go there. Now, I had never been to McCormick Place. I didn't know who Billy Graham was. But I knew I need to go there. So immediately I shut off all the burners and everything. And my mother was living downstairs from me. I went downstairs. Mom, I'm going to go to McCormick Place. Anybody here want to go with me? Well, my daughter Pat said, I'll go with you, Mom. Alexander said, no, not me. Is it all right if I stay home with Grandma? I said, yeah, you can do that. And one of my older brothers that was living with my mother said, well, I'll go with you. I've heard of Billy Graham. He said, I'll go with you. So, okay. So we went down to McCormick Place. What do you suppose Billy Graham was preaching on? He was preaching on God's Ten Commandments. And as I got there, the place was packed. I remember sitting way, way, way up there, where, you know, was so far away, and they just had a spotlight down there, and George Beverly Shea was singing. And I remember looking down there, and oh, that music was just so beautiful. And then all of a sudden, Billy Graham, you know, I've always appreciated that from Billy Graham. He doesn't get a great big, ta-da, here is Billy Graham now. Never. You always just see him, all of a sudden, he just comes up there. No big introduction. It's just Jesus he's going to present to you. So all of a sudden, there was Billy Graham. And now, he started on the Ten Commandments. He took each commandment one by one. Well, I'm sitting way up there, and I'm saying, I'm all excited, and I'm saying, yep, I keep that one. Yep, I keep that one. Yep, got to the fourth one, run right over my head. Yep, I keep that one. I used to go to church every Sunday. And so every commandment, yep, I keep those. So now he gave an invitation. He said, if there is anyone here, he says, you know, he says, Jesus is not ashamed of us, and we shouldn't be ashamed of him. If we really love him, we will commit our lives to him. We will ask him to come into our hearts, and then we will really see what he can do in our lives. So if there's anybody out there, come forward. He gave the invitation, just as I am. You know, in Catholicism, they tell you, the priest used to tell me, get your act together and then come back so you can, get communion. Otherwise, you can't, you know, you just can't receive communion. But here was a message that come as you are. Jesus loves you, and he will help you. I ran down there. Oh, boy, did I run down. I was so excited. I ran down there, and, oh, yes, I committed myself to the Lord. And I went home, and I quick ran down there and told my mother, guess what I did today? I said, I committed my life. And so she said, what does that mean? You know, being all Catholics. And so then I explained to her that, you know, we need to accept the Lord Jesus into our hearts as our personal Savior. And so right there, my mother said, well, you know, I want to do that. And I led her to the Lord right there. As a matter of fact, you know, sad to say, I kind of felt kind of resentful because I thought to myself, I've got a real good thing. Now she wants some too. Isn't that just like us? I mean, you know, it's like, wow, you know. But all right. Anyway, I led my mother to the Lord. And then I went upstairs and I got on the phone. I only had one sister, my oldest sister. She was the only Baptist in the whole family. And she was a Baptist because she had married a Baptist man and she had become a Baptist. Well, I knew right away that she would understand what I'm talking about. So I called her and told her, Tilly, guess what? I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Well, she was so excited. She was so excited for me. She said, oh, Tree, she said, that's the best news I could have ever gotten. Well, anyway, the time went on. And so then the day, I just started praying and praying. Then what I started to do was I started to attend Mass every day, not just on Sundays, but every day. Every morning I would get up and I would go to church, I would go to Mass, and I would sit there, and I cannot tell you how many mornings I sat there and just cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, I want to be all yours. Please help me. Help me, dear Lord, to be all yours. And all this, and because I was still struggling with this thing about not being able to marry this man that I thought was so perfect. And it was like the Lord was saying to me, Teresa, there is no perfect person except me. Amen. I can give you what you're looking for. And so, but he knew I was struggling with that. So every morning I was going to church and I was praying. Then I'd come home, fix breakfast for my children, fix their lunch, and then I'd go on to work. And one morning, as a matter of fact, I'll never forget it. It was the day after Easter, what they call in Catholicism, they call Easter Monday. It was the Monday after Easter. I woke up that day, and you know what? It was like the Lord said to me, Teresa, today's your day. Today you will have the strength to do what you need to do. Oh, wow. Boy, I tell you, I got up and there was like music in my heart and I was just going through the house, just every little memento that this person had given me and everything, I just put it all together and everything, and I wrote a note and I said, I have given my life to Jesus. But this was like 3 months after I had accepted the Lord. And I said, and now I must let you go. And you must make your life right with the Lord too. And so then I got in the car with my children, and we went out, and we went shopping, and we just, and I remember singing in the car, we were just singing and singing and singing all kinds of praises to the Lord. And I got back home about 9 o'clock that night, and my mother said to me, my mother didn't know what was going on. My mother said to me, she said, Treece, she said, you know, she said, I saw so-and-so come over, and you weren't home. And then he came out, and he sat in his car for about 4 hours. He just left about 15 minutes ago. I think he was waiting for you. And, you know, I didn't go out there because I didn't know what. And I said, Mother, let me tell you what has happened. So I sat there and I shared with her, Mom, it's over between me and so-and-so. And I have given myself to the Lord completely. And my life is going to be different. And she, oh, she cried. She said, but how could you do that? How could you break his heart like that? You know what he has meant to you. And you know what you have meant to him. And he has been so good to you. How could you? And I said, Mom, there's no one good but the Lord. The Lord, he's the one. And so anyway, then I went upstairs, and my children were sitting there very sad because they really liked this relationship that I had. He used to pay a lot of attention to them. And I explained to them what had happened. And I said to them, I said, you know, I said, in the Bible, in Luke 15:7, it tells us that there is great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes back to the Lord. Amen. And this is what I have done today. And so the Lord is going to help us. We're going to be okay. And you're going to, so anyway, after that, you know, that was the end of that. Well, I started praying and asking the Lord, Lord, you know, because, you know, in Catholicism, you go to Mass and then you come home, and the Mass is maybe a half hour at the most. During the week, it was only 15 minutes. On Sundays, it was like a half hour. And then you come home, and that's the end of it. Well, I came home, you know, one day, and I said, oh, Lord, I said, you know, I just am hungering for you so much, and I just want to share with other people. I want to get together with people who know you, who love you, and people who will, who feel as I feel. And I know, dear Lord, that it's not only Catholics. There's got to be people of all denominations out there that love you just like I do. And Lord, I want to meet them and rejoice with them and fellowship with them. Well, can you believe that the Lord answered that one right away? The next day, my daughter, because I did have my children in Catholic school, the next day my daughter came home with a flyer. And they had all nuns for their teachers, but they had one lay teacher. And she said, Mom, she said, Mrs. Melanowski gave me this flyer and said to bring it home to you. And on that flyer, it said, come and worship with us at, come and worship with us at Mother Cabrini Church. Have a fellowship with all believers. And so I said, oh, this, and I said to her, oh, did Mrs. Melanowski give this to everybody? She said, no, she just gave it to me as I was walking out and said to bring it to you. Wow, I said, that's, the Lord is answering my prayer. Well, quick, I went down to Mother Cabrini. It was a Catholic, and down in the basement, that was where I got involved with Charismatics. Now, I don't know how many of you know Charismatics. But Charismatics are a group of people of all denominations. They're beautiful people. They're wonderful people. I have nothing ill to say about them. They love the Lord. I really believe that. So, but they were of all different denominations. And then they come together and they study the Bible and they pray. But then they all go back to their own churches on Sunday. And that's what I started to do. I would get together with them and then go back to my church on Sunday. And I would still go to confession, go to communion, and do everything the Catholics do. Well, I got this group of friends. We were about 20 of us. John Sarney probably still remembers some of them because he was just a little guy. But John and his mother used to go with us to a lot of these meetings where... we used to have sing a lot. We used to sing a lot of testimonies and things. And there I was. Then they introduced me to, well, you know, Faith Tabernacle, they have some good services down there. And come on down there. And I said, all right. So Sundays, I would go to church on Sundays at the Catholic Church, and then in the evenings I would go to Faith Tabernacle. Oh, what a crowd of people. And there were Jews and Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Catholics and atheists and what have you. They were all there, non-believers and believers and all, but all rejoicing and happy and, you know, and it would go on into the wee hours of the morning. I loved it. And we were just there having a great time, you know. But then they have a lot of healings and speaking in tongues. And that was what I used to question. I used to sit there and listen to that and say, I can't understand what that one is saying. Why would God have that? But I didn't, you know, pay much attention to it other than I didn't quite believe that. And then the healings, you know, people would go forward and they would get their hands put on their heads and they would maybe fall on the floor and whatever and then get up and give testimony that they got healed. And I would say, I don't know, you know, I wasn't, you know. Well, anyway, I was still asking the Lord, Lord, what? Bring me closer to you, bring me closer to you. Well, one day at the meetings there, Faith Tabernacle, they used to have different denominational pastors come in there and preach. So one Sunday they had this Baptist preacher that came in there and preached. And he was preaching on the commandments of God. And he said that in Colossians 2:14, the commandments were nailed to the cross, so we didn't have to keep those anymore. Well, I really questioned that, and I thought to myself, because as I looked at thou shalt not kill and all this, I thought to myself, I don't know about that, but you know, after all, he is a Baptist preacher, and he must know what he's talking about. Meanwhile, there was another preacher that came in there, and he taught about baptism, about how Jesus was baptized by full immersion. And so then I looked, and sure enough, Matthew 3:13-17 was talking about how Jesus went into the water and got baptized. So then this preacher said, you know, who wants to be baptized? So I said, I do. I want to be baptized like Jesus. So I was baptized by full immersion. And wondered, why did the Catholics sprinkle on me when I was little and didn't even know it? Well, all right, but now I did it right. Now I went under the water. Well, a few weeks later, this Methodist preacher comes in, and he had the service, and he again was preaching on God's Ten Commandments. And he said, John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I looked at that and I said, yeah, now that I believe. But why is this other guy saying this? I was so confused. I was so confused that I said, oh, Lord, what? What am I to do? Well, I went home and I started really talking to Jesus. Lord, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now, this crowd of friends that I had, we were about 20 of us. We were all Catholics. Catholic Charismatics. John remembers them well, I'm sure. And all of these Catholic Charismatics, you know, we used to meet in each other's homes. We used to have mass there because there were priests there. Some were priests, some were nuns. And they would come in there and, you know, we would have good fellowship, you know. So this one Saturday, I am sitting there at home thinking to myself, I should really go over to Crane High School this evening. This was on a Saturday. I said, because Nikki Cruz, and I'm sure many of you have heard of Nikki Cruz, I said, Nikki Cruz is supposed to be having a big rally at Crane High School on the north side of Chicago because he's soliciting believers, Christian people in the area that can help him go into, he wanted to go into Humboldt Park to preach the gospel. But he needed the Christians from Chicago to help him to go in there. So I thought to myself, that's very exciting. I'd like to do that. And especially since a lot of those are, you know, Spanish-speaking people over there. And I said, yeah, I can really help out there. So I think I'm going to go to that rally and see what we're going, you know, and then go and help him out. Well, meanwhile, one of my friends from the Charismatics called me and said, Therese, what are you going to do tonight? And I said, well, I'm thinking of going to that Nikki Cruz crusade. I said, oh. She said, Nikki Cruz is in town? I said, yeah. I said, Crane High School. I said, you know, he's soliciting people. He wants people to come over there and help him. Oh, she said, well, what kind of entertainment is he going to have? You know, because Charismatics are big in entertainment. What kind of entertainment is he going to have? I said, entertainment? I don't know about entertainment. But he is, you know, he wants people to come and help him. Oh, I said, why don't you come and go with me? Well, okay, she said. Well, she came, and there was about three or four others that came with her, and we all, as a matter of fact, I drove by her house, left my car there, and we all went together, and we went to Crane High School. Well, it was, you know, it was just Nikki Cruz up there talking about his love for the Lord and how he wanted people to help him. And, you know, well, that didn't sit very well with them, with my group. They were all sitting there, you know, because there was no entertainment. It was kind of dry for them, I guess, because, you know. So they quickly sent word down to me that, let's go. Let's go. And I said, now, there wasn't very much I could do because I didn't bring my car. So, okay, now we get up and we go out. So this one gal says, you know what? She says, let's go over by Dr. Choi's house. He lives way over on the north side. But you know what? He's having a big rally in his house today. And let's go over there and listen to him. Okay. So we went over there. Sure enough, Dr. Choi was a physician. And his wife was an attorney. And they had this big home. And sure enough, the basement was humongous. And we walked in there. He even had a pulpit there. And he had just gotten through preaching, so we didn't get there for the preaching. But then he says, okay, he says, now, he said, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are going to be given to everybody today. So if you haven't received one of the gifts of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit that you should have, either speaking in tongues or miracles or healings or whatever, tonight's your night, because tonight you will get it. Oh, boy, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wow, I don't have none of those gifts, but I don't think I want them either, because I really, I don't know, I was kind of skeptical about that. Well, anyway, they formed this great big circle. Oh, everybody take hands. And everybody was holding hands and everything. And him and his wife were going around, and they were putting their hands on everybody. And they were saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And he had instructed everybody that when he said, receive the Holy Spirit, receive your gift. Whatever it is that you're looking for, receive it at that moment. So he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And you know, every time he laid his hands on a person, down they would go. Down they would go like dominoes. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm standing there and I'm watching this, you know. Well, he gets to me and he says, receive the Spirit. Woo! I go back like this and I come back again. And he looks at me and he hits me again. Doo! I go back and I come back again. But I'm still standing. And he says to me, he whispers in my ear. He says, sister, go down. Go down. And he'd go like this to me, you know. And I looked at him like, no way. So then I said to him, I said, if the Lord wants me down there, he'll put me down there. So anyway, with that, he left me and he went on to everybody else. Well, everybody else was all over the floor. My friends were all over there, all over the floor and everything. As a matter of fact, one of my friends was real, she was very, very heavy. They even put a great big chair right in back of her so that when she went down, she wouldn't get hurt. Anyway, they were all down there, and so I'm still standing. And you know, as I stood there, I could just see the Lord was just showing me like puppet strings, like puppet strings. Like this man's got a bunch of puppets here. He's controlling them. That's not me. Well, I went home thinking to myself, oh, Lord, you and I've got a lot of talking to do because there's a lot that has happened, and I don't know what is going on. But you know what, Lord? I've come too far with you to think that you would let me fall flat on my face. Amen. So, Lord, I am just asking now that whatever you will show me in your scriptures, because now I've got to go by the scriptures and the scriptures only, not be listening to all of these people who are telling me that the book of Revelations is a book that is closed, the book of Revelation nobody can understand. Because I was really interested in wanting to know what this book of Revelation and Daniel had. And I couldn't understand it. So I said, Lord, you've got to show me these things because I can't believe anybody out there. I just cannot believe anybody out there. Well, the Lord said, okay. I'm sitting at my desk one Friday afternoon, still pondering this, and for a whole week I couldn't sleep. I knew there was a war going on inside of me. I knew it because I could feel it, because all day long I would go through this turmoil in my head and my soul that, you know, the Lord was fighting for me. I need to find out truth. And so as I sat there at my desk on one Friday afternoon about 3 o'clock, the Lord said to me, Teresa, go home and get on your knees, and I will answer your prayer. Well, see, I always believe the Lord, whatever he says, I know. So I quick jumped up, and I went in and told my boss, I said, you know, I need 2 weeks vacation. Whoa, he said, when? Next week and the following week. Wow, short notice, what happened? I said, I just need it off. I need that time off. Well, my best friend that many of you know, surely, that we lovingly call Tommy. Her last name was Tomaszewski, so we always called her Tommy. She was my assistant at work. And they said, well, does Tommy know you're going on? No. I said, she doesn't. Well, will she be able to handle? I said, I'm sure she will. Well, okay, well, go tell her then. So I went out there and told her. I said, you know, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. And well, we were closer than sisters. We always used to talk to each other about different things. And yet I had not talked to her about this turmoil that was going on with me. I couldn't talk. It was like I just couldn't even talk. So I just told her, I said, because she kept saying to me, well, something wrong. I said to her, I said, you know what? I said, just, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, and you need to this and this and this. Okay, okay. I went home. And I got on my knees in the, I shut down all the blinds and everything, got on my knees in the living room. And I cried. And I had my Bible open there. And I said, Lord, it's between you and me. Show me in your word what I need to do. And whatever you show me, I will do it. And I said, because I cannot believe anything that they're teaching out there, whether it be Catholicism or Baptist or anything else. I cannot believe it. You show me, dear Lord. And so closed my Bible and went upstairs. And, you know, for the first time in a week, I was able to sleep. I slept like a baby. When I had come in from work that day, I grabbed all my mail and thrown it up on top of my dining room table. And so then slept like a baby that night. Came down the stairs. And as I was going through my dining room, there on the table was this great big brochure that said, do you want to learn what the book of Revelation and Daniel has for you? The truths of Revelation and Daniel. And it listed all these things that I was interested in. The coming of Christ and about death. And just all of these things that were so. And I'm looking at this and wow. Well, those meetings were going to start that night at Elmhurst Church. So there I went, and I sat there, and you know, when I walked in there, I didn't even know, the Lord even blinded me, where I didn't even know that that was a church, yet there were pews there, because I remember sitting in the second pew, Bible only, and that's what I wanted. Wow, and I sat there, and I looked at that, and sure enough, Jim Kress came out there, and he started to preach. He took subject by subject by, well, I couldn't hardly wait every night, and I'd come, and I'd listen, and I was going home, and I was looking up these scriptures. I was saying, gee, these scriptures have always been here. Why didn't I see them before? And it was just, but anyway, there I was, and finally I came to where I said, okay, this is the truth that I've been looking for. Went through these, and I asked to be baptized. And they said to me, well, have you ever been fully immersed? I said, yes. I said, about a year ago. And they said, well, then you can just come in by a profession of faith. You don't really have to, you know. Oh, no. No, no, I said. I want to cling. I want to go all the way under. I said, this is truth, and I want truth. That's what I've been looking for. So I want to go under the water. Okay, they said. So sure enough, I went and got baptized. None of my family were there, not even my best friend Shirley was there, because I hadn't told anybody. But after I got baptized, I ran down there and I said to Shirley, guess what? I'm no longer a Catholic. What? She said. What a shock. And I said, so I told her, I said, I was baptized last night. She said, baptized? We got baptized, because she had gotten baptized with me too at Faith Tabernacle. We got baptized. No, no, no. Whew, I said, do you know who the Antichrist is? I mean, all of these things they tell you, don't start sharing with people right away. Do you know who the Antichrist is? No. Well, what are you talking about? Do you know that the rapture isn't really a rapture? People aren't going to start disappearing all the time? What are you talking about? She told me later on that she had thought to herself, boy, I don't know what this one got herself into, but boy, I think she really went off the deep end this time. And so then she said, well, you know, where are you going? And I said, right down the road over here. I said, and I'm learning all these truths, and I got baptized. I've got to go to Chicago, I said, because I've got my son and my daughter weren't living with me anymore. And I said, I've got to go tell them. I've got to go tell my mother what I've done, I said, because they knew me to be a faithful Catholic, going to church every day, praying all the time and everything. So I went down there, and I went and I told my mother, Mom, I said, bring me your Spanish Bible. I'm going to show you something. I opened it up to Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, and I started going down, and I told her, I said, read that fourth one for me. And she read it, and you know, boom, like that, she said to me, Sabbath. She said, that's Saturday. I said, right. I said, and we had never seen it. She said, well, why do we go to church on Sundays? Oh, Ma, I said, if you only knew. So I started sharing with her real quick all about this. And she said, oh, wow. So I told her, I said, I got baptized last night. I said, and you know what? I said, I'm no longer a Catholic, I said. And so I just wanted you to know this. And I left there, and I went by my daughters. And I told my daughter, because they had gone, they knew nothing but Catholic school. They had never gone to public school. She said to me, you know what, Ma? When we were in eighth grade, they started teaching us out of the Bible. And I saw that, and I questioned it, and they told me that they would get to it when they got to it. And that was the end of it. They never got to it. And so she said, well, where is this church? And I said, well, it's all the way over there in Elmhurst. And, well, I want to go there and see what. And I said, well, yeah, you got to learn too. And so then I went over to my son and told him the same thing. He told me the same thing. He said, Ma, he said, yeah, Saturday, being Spanish, we know that Sabado is Saturday, not Sunday. And he said, where is this church? And I told him, well, over there. Well, I want to go too. Well, so then what happened was I went back, and Shirley called me, and she said to me, she said, well, are there meetings tonight? And I said, yeah. I said, there's going to be meetings going on for almost another month. And she said, well, can I go with you? I said, I wish you would. She said, well, can I bring John with me? And John was a little tight kid. I don't know, he was 10, 11 years old. And I said, yeah. I said, come on and go with me. So we went down there to the Elmhurst Church. I was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, August 31st, 1979. My best friend Shirley and her son John were baptized on her birthday, September the 21st, 1979. My daughter Patty was baptized September the 22nd, 1979. My mother, who was 80 years old, had called me on the phone crying when I got home that day and said to me, "Teresa, where is this church? I'm 80 years old. I've got to get baptized. I've got to get my life right with the Lord. I want to be baptized." She was baptized December the 3rd, 1979. My son Alexander was baptized December the 8th, 1979. It was not my doing. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. All I had done was to go and share with them what Christ had done for me, and the Lord did the rest. And our life has never been the same since. Since then, I had a sister who was very, very upset. She never told me about it, but she did tell my mother. "I'm very upset with Teresa because she got you off onto some religion that I don't know what it is. It's an occult or something. And And you shouldn't, we've always been Catholics." Although she never went to church, but, we've always been Catholics, And my mother used to try to share with her. My mother used to cry and say to me, "Teresa, I can't get through to her." I said, "Mother, don't try to get through to any of them. Just pray for them. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord can do what you can do." "Mother, I didn't convince you. I didn't convince Patty or Alex or Shirley or anybody. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. Pray for them. That's all you need to do." Well, do you know that my sister, that one, is the only other Adventist in the church, in my family right now, because she asked me for Bible studies, and I went down to Chicago once a week for about 8 months and gave her Bible studies, and then she became a Seventh-day Adventist. Then she shared with her husband, and he became a Seventh-day Adventist. Amen. So the Lord just keeps on working and working and working and working. And I tell you, there is nothing like serving the Lord. Steve, you told me, maybe half hour, 45 minutes? 45 minutes. Amen. That's it. Everybody wants to go home. So I tell you what, there's one song that I pray, that I sing every day. "Great Are You, Lord." And that's page 25. In this little songbook. And I sing this all the time because I tell you, the Lord is so good. He is so good.
Sing it through twice.
Twice.